Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Dean's Den, the Dean of Wrestling referee Steve Kane with wrestling news, wrestling views, and wrestling news news. Sit back, pop a cold one, and get ready for Live from the Dean's Den.
Well, for those of you who are catching this live after SmackDown, I suppose having a bit of a cold one is a prerequisite. All right, welcome to Live from the Dean's Den. I am the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane. Now, before we get to this week's edition, I want to talk a little bit about what happened last week and why there's that strange gap in the middle of everything. Well, unfortunately, it seems that somehow when I was doing everything last week, I'd accidentally flipped the mute switch on my mic. And so that's why there was a gap. I'm seriously thinking of taking and recording back in. I know pretty much what I was going to say or what I did say that second half, and I might then re-release it. But that's why there was a gap in last week's episode. Now, on to this week. Now, of course, this past Saturday was Impact's annual big event, Slammiversary. Although, of course, this year, as with everything in the wrestling business, it's definitely a little bit different because things aren't the way they were. We obviously are in the middle of a pandemic, and so everything is not being done the way that it had normally been done. And it's made for a big change within the wrestling scene. WWE wound up having to cut a lot of talent that they probably would not have actually cut previously, because especially now with the fact that at least in their way of thinking, they had competition in AEW, although AEW had been saying consistently they weren't going to grab a bunch of former WWE guys. And they've pretty much made good on that. So that kind of narrows the options down a little bit. Now, when you look at the history of Impact Wrestling, or TNA, as it was originally called, when it started out as a weekly pay-per-view at $9.99 so that you could get four two-hour events for the cost of one WWE three-hour pay-per-view. So it made it a little bit different. Then they decided, well, we need to get regular TV in order to be viable. So they could deal with Fox. That didn't last very long. I think maybe that was like about a year or so. And so they're back struggling, trying to find a deal. They wind up with Spike. And the deal with Spike lasted for a few years. And then they eventually moved to what is now known as Pop, when it was originally out there it was actually the TV Guide channel. Now, for those of you younger ones out there who don't know what that is, back in the day, the TV Guide channel had a scrolling listing of what was coming up. It's sort of like what you see now in your grid on your standard guide, whether you're a cable or satellite. Well, that's what TV Guide Channel did. And then they started adding programs on top of the rolling grid. Eventually, they just dropped the rolling grid and went to running. Originally, it was reruns of classic old shows. Then eventually they started getting some new ones, and Impact was one of those shows that they got. It lasted a couple of seasons, was not getting them the type of ratings that they were looking for, and so they dropped them. And so here we go. Impact is now looking for another home. So eventually they wind up on a little tiny channel called Destination America, which is probably more well known for A, not being in that many households because it was an upper tier channel that you had to pay extra to get. And then add on top of that, that mostly what you saw on Destination America was hunting and ghost shows. So wasn't exactly a good fit. And of course, at this point, you're going through management changes. The Carters finally sold out. At first it was supposed to be to the Harris brothers, then it was going to be Billy Corgan, and then eventually they signed out with Anthem Sports out of Canada. So Anthem promptly booted out Dixie Carter, booted out Billy Corgan, and then they brought in Bruce Pritchard and Jim Cornette. Well, that, as you know, didn't last very long. So, well, and they had a lot of bad things happen. That was during the time of the Alberto Del Rio Page assault case. So they send Alberto packing for a little bit. Then Alberto winds up no showing shows because he's out getting drunk somewhere, and so on and so forth. So the history of the company doesn't seem to look good. And so eventually Anthem is thinking, okay, what are we going to do? How, you know, we need a TV deal, or this investment of millions of dollars that we made is going to fall flat. And especially up here in Canada, we're going to look like a bunch of hosers. So they already had a partial financial interest in Access TV. Now, for those of you who might not be aware, Access TV was at one time called Palladium, and it was strictly a rock and roll channel. So, and Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks and Shark Tank, was one of the owners. So eventually what happens is Anthem finally increases its stake to a overwhelming majority stake in the company. And now at this point, Access was doing good. Access had on Friday nights New Japan Pro Wrestling. Eventually, they added David McLean's and Jeannie Buss's Women of Wrestling. Well, Access comes in, buys the lion's share of or Anthem comes in, buys the lion's share of Access, and New Japan is basically told, "Hey, you play ball with us. We get to do talent exchanges and all of that, and you can stay on for a while. You can stay on, maybe even to the end of the contract that the original owners had." Well, New Japan was having none of that. They're like, "Well, bleep you, we're done, and hasta la vista." WOW, although they had most of the next season in the can, well, coronavirus got that too. So now the only thing that Access has, as far as wrestling goes, is Impact. Fine. They're happy with that because they now have a channel. They set themselves up in prime time, 8 to 10 Eastern and Pacific, 7 to 9 in the Central Zone, and they seem to be making pretty well. And of course, but the ratings still weren't as good as they could have been. So, how do you increase the ratings? Some of it's storyline, but a good portion of it is the talent that's in the ring. Who do you have in there performing for you? And basically, the one good thing that Impact had going for them was Tessa Blanchard. But Tessa already had a known reputation. The accusations about her and La Rosa Negra in Japan had already come out. So it was now, well, we're stuck. We've got her. She's our champion. We can't really do anything about it. Well, then the coronavirus hits. Tessa, who also was working for AAA at the time and is engaged to Daga, who works for both AAA and Impact, are now basically quarantined in Mexico and can't get out. Impact wants her to do promos for the title match, and she doesn't send the promo videos that she's supposed to do. They try to work out a deal where she'll manage to get away from Mexico for long enough to come in, drop the strap, and then she can go back on her merry way, and that falls through. And again, now meanwhile, while all this is going on, WWE is making massive cuts. So, Anthem management gets tired of Tessa's garbage, and it's like, okay, you know what? Fine. Go your own way, sweetheart. You're done. We're not gonna put up with this crap. So they release her and strip the title. Now, to add insult to injury, just shortly after that happens, then this little thing called speaking out comes out. And all of a sudden, now you've got Joey Ryan, who already had a reputation, but now he's seriously getting implicated. You have Michael Elgin, whom here on BTR, we had been talking about him for well over a year with another case that eventually wound up getting tossed out. But there were things that Michael Elgin had done prior to joining Impact that were not the best things to do. So that stuff gets out. Elgin gets released. Next thing you know, as the speaking out goes on, Dave Crist's name comes up. And boom, he's gone. His brother Jake apparently seems to have gone with him, leaving out of the Ohio contingent of what was OVE, Sammy Callahan and Madman Fulton. So through all of these things, the roster is getting smaller. And you've already had issues with TV ratings. And you're coming up on a major pay-per-view. What are you going to do? Well, again, you own this successful TV channel that is doing well commercially, has a pretty good fan base on its other programs and that. And so you take the money that is in the balance sheet and you decide to go on a little shopping spree. Because all of a sudden, wow, all of these former WWE talents are out there, and there's some good ones out there. We can get our hands on a few of them that might help our numbers go up. So they're working behind the scenes to sign guys so that when Slammiversary comes up, they can make some major surprises. So, word does leak out that Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are in negotiations with them. Now, they were also in negotiations with AEW as well. But one of the things that Gallows and Anderson really wanted was the freedom to be able to go back to Japan once the situation allowed it. And remember, in Japan, Gallows and Anderson are revered. They are like gods. And being charter members of the Bullet Club, even the idea of getting them back would be amazing for the Japanese fans. So, Impact offers them a deal where they're obviously going to, at least right now, work pretty regular whenever Impact tapes over there in Nashville. And then once Japan opens up, then they're free to go ahead negotiate a deal with them as well so that they can return there, which could set up a major fissure in the Bullet Club. And that's a subject for another time. So the word leaking out about that. Then at the same time, you've got EC3 making these videos. And he's doing this whole idea of make your own narrative. And so in the videos, he's teasing Ring of Honor. He's teasing going to AEW. He's teasing it going back to Impact. Impact does a little thing where after a Moose match, they start to play the old EC3 theme and run the video screen. So they're teasing in on it too. Well, here comes Slammiversary this past Saturday night. And the first surprise you get is that the Motor City Machine Guns, who haven't been together in about 6 years, have signed a new deal, have reunited and returned to Impact. Boom. Surprise number one. Then, after the Moose match with Tommy Dreamer, all of a sudden, out comes the man formerly known as Heath Slater. Real name Heath Miller, right now just being called Heath. And he comes out and does this monologue, which was, of course, interrupted by Rohit Raju, who immediately got his rear end kicked. So, okay. Well, then, so Slater, Miller, whatever his name is right now, does a bit where he reunites with Rhino. Then he's told, hey, you know, with COVID restrictions and everything else, it's a close set. I'm sorry, you're not under contract. You have to go. Boom. But still, you got him. Then, all of a sudden, at the title match, this new music and this new video screen come up, and boom, here comes Eric Young. Eric Young has not been in Impact for, oh gosh, I'm going to say at least 5 or 6 years. And so he returns. Then the main event is over. Gallows and Anderson finally make their first official appearance in Impact Wrestling. You get Fulton and Callahan getting ready to make a charge at them. Or no, I'm sorry, Fulton and Ace Austin. And then they fight them off, and they get a couple of beers tossed to them to celebrate, and all of a sudden, boom, the lights go off, the video screen starts playing, and it's EC3. Doesn't say a word, just stares at the camera with a drink in his hand, turns around, throws the glass against the wall, and boom, instant shot to black, which then leads to Tuesday night, and all of a sudden Moose gets sneak attacked from behind by EC3. And then a little bit farther down the line in the show, all of a sudden, this guy with this leather bottom half mask with the initial M on it shows up, pulls that down, and it's Brian Myers, formerly Curt Hawkins. So now you have all of these ex-WWE guys. And Tommy Dreamer did a little something. He got all of these guys, EC3, Myers, Miller, Gallows, and Anderson, to take a big picture. And that big picture shows all of the former WWE guys, two of whom were Impact guys, and of course Gallows and Anderson were actually part of Jeff Jarrett's ill-fated Global Force Wrestling, which was supposedly part of Impact for a while, but that fell apart real quickly, and they all send a very loud, very clear message to Vince McMahon, because they all face the camera. They're all flipping it off, with the exception of Carl Anderson, whose hand is conveniently placed right on his crotch. So, shots fired at Vince McMahon, and there you go. You now have the makings of a potentially big promotion if Impact management and booking uses them all correctly. That's always been the problem in this business. We'll just have to wait and see. Big stuff in Japan tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. AAA this past Monday announced a new idea, because they are stuck. AAA Mania Ocho is not happening right now. So what he's going to do is he has come up with an idea which is known as Auto Luchas. So this is supposed to happen. It's a drive-in wrestling concept to take place at Six Flags Mexico. And then cars will park in assigned spots to watch a show in a ring raised a little higher than usual so everyone can see. There will also be screens set up around the area in case of obscured views. Fans will buy tickets digitally, will be required to wear face masks, and stay in their cars during the show. And Roldan said they'll be taking all sanitary conditions. Now, so far, none of the AAA talent has tested positive, thank God. Special merchandise will be sold at the show, including face masks. Cars will be limited to 4 people for a regular-sized car, 7 for an SUV, and AAA will broadcast the commentary on radio for the fans to listen in. So if you're used to a drive-in type situation, drive-in movie, where you put your car in the accessory position and you turned on a low frequency radio station, you got the audio for the movie. Well, in this case, it's going to be wrestling commentary. So now they're still waiting for a green light from the government to be able to run this. And what will happen is they'll take place on weekends and multiple times a day. So it'll be sort of like a theme park show. Matches will be singles and tag teams, tending more towards singles. It'll all be Mexico talent because obviously there are travel restrictions. So just gonna have to see what happens to that. So real quick here, we'll talk about now Darby Allin. At this point, they've still got him cleared to wrestle in the tag match this coming Wednesday on Dynamite. Poor dear Tammy Sitch. Oh, poor little Tammy. It seems that since she got arrested and hauled off to jail, well, her poor little OnlyFans account, the account where she did her masturbation and sex performances with her boyfriend. I don't even know if they're still together. Well, she's now dropped down to 799 subscribers who are paying anywhere between 22 to 30 dollars a month. Well, and this is a drop from 2,200 members. So, boom, big, big drop. And at this point, who knows? She might be locked up for a while, so that OnlyFans account might wind up drifting down to zero. But hey, that's what happens when you're stupid and you don't check in with your probation officer and do the stuff you're supposed to do. So, what can you say? All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. This is the Dean of Wrestling Referee, Steve Kane, signing off.
Thank you for listening to Live from the Dean's Den. Live from the Dean's Den comes to you every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio on Evolution Radio Network. Replays can be found on Anchor FM, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.